We're starting here at the top of Nun Hei Amud Aleph. The Gemara is now about to discuss the Mishnah that we just read. In the Mishnah, we discussed Zivchei Shalmi Tzibur v'Ashamot. Now, when it came to Ashamot, Ashamot we already dealt with earlier in terms of the need for Tzafon. We did that when we discussed the Chatat and the reason that it's written by the Ashamot that you have to be Shechad Oto Bimkom Ha'olah Bimkom Chatat. We saw that earlier in the parak. Now the Gemara has to discuss Zivchei Shalmi Tzibur, the din of Shalmi Tzibur. The Gemara says, Minole Tbane Tzafon. Minole, how do we know that Zivchei Shalmi Tzibur require Tzafon? Because the regular Shlamim is Kodshim Kalim. If they're Kodshim Kalim, they can be Nishchat B'chom Akom Bazara. The fact that Zivchei Shalmi Tzibur are done in the Tzafon, are shechted in the Tzafon, means that they are Kodshei Kodoshim. Where do we know that from? Ditani Rabba Bar Rav Chanan Chamei D'Rava. It says, by the Parsha in Emor, when it's talking about the Parshat HaMoadim, and discusses Shavuot there, in discussing the Kivsei Atzeret, which are the Korban that is brought on Shavuot, the only time in the year that we ever bring Shlamim as a Tzibur. There it says, Va'asitim Siri Zimachad L'chatat. Alongside the Kivsei Atzeret comes a Siri Zimachad L'chatat. So there's some sort of hekesh to Chatat. Ma Chatat B'tzafon. Af Shalmi Tzibur B'tzafon. So Rabba Bar Rav Chanan says, because of the juxtaposition between the Kivsei Atzeret and Siri Zimachad L'chatat, therefore, I'm going to suggest over here that just like the Chatat is in the Tzafon, also Shalmi Tzibur B'Tzafon. I'm like, Rabba, wait a minute. V'ri Chatat Meheichan Lamda. How do we know the fact that a Chatat requires north? That we know because it's Shachat et Atat Bimkom Ha'ola. So that's a Hekesh there. So we already know from Meheichan Lamda Me'ola. Since when is something kodshim that is learned from Hekesh can then be learned again, once again from Hekesh? You're doing a double Hekesh, which is not permitted in kodshim. Ella Midatani Rav Mari Breit Rav Kahana. Comes from this other limud. It says by the Parshat Achatzotzrot, Alalotechem V'al Zivchei Shalmeichem. So by the parsha of the Chatzotzrot, it describes when you're going to use the Chatzotzrot in the Mikdash. So it says, when you bring your Alaloteichem, V'al Zivchei Shalmeichem. As Rashi points out, that it has to be talking about the Zivchei Shalmei Tzibur, because Ein Korban Yachid Ta'un Klei Shir. There's no requirement of musical accompaniment when it comes to a Korban of a Yachid. That's only true by the Korban Tzibur. She'ein omrim shir al karban yachid, as Rashi says. So we're talking about shir, and we're talking about shlamim. There is only one shlamim that we bring all year, that's a korban atzibur, that's on Shavuot, that's the kivsei atzeret. So therefore, must be. We have here a juxtaposition. Therefore, ma ola bitzafon, av zibchei zami tzibur bitzafon. So here we can say the hakesh, and we can go directly to the source. Now we're not going through chatat anymore. We're saying directly, Zivchei Shalmi Tzibur is juxtaposed to the Ola in the Pasuk. And just like the Ola requires north, so too the Shalmi Tzibur require north. And truthfully, it's Ma'ola Kodshei Kodoshim. Not only is it for north, but it's for the entire framework of Kodshei Kodoshim. Just like Ola is Kodshei Kodoshim, so too the Zivchei Shalmi Tzibur are considered Kodshei Kodoshim. Ma'ola B'Tzafon, Av Zivchei Shalmi Tzibur B'Tzafon. El Hekesha Kamo L'Mayato. Then what's the Hekesh? The Hekesh brought by Rabba Barav Hanon, who is a good Hekesh, and therefore what's its usefulness? Why is there a Hekesh between the Chatat and the Shalmi Tzibur? I understand why I have it by the Ola, but why now do I have it by the Chatat? Ki Chatat, Ma Chatat, Ein Enechelet El Zichrei Kuna, Av Zivchei Shalmi Tzibur El Zichrei Kuna. From Ola, I can't learn anything out about Achila, because when it comes to an Ola, it's Khalil LaHashem. If it's Khalil LaHashem, then there's nothing to talk about in terms of Achila. So therefore, it must be that we learned that out from Chatat. And Chatat will teach us about the Achilat HaZivchei Shalmi Tzibur. And that tells us that only Zichrei Kun, only male Kohanim, can consume it. If that's the case, Gabe El Nazir, what are you going to do about the El Nazir Dichtiv? Krivet Karban Ola Hashem. The Nazir brings Keves Ben Shnato Tamim Echad Ola. V'kivsa achat bat shnatat mimal chatat, This is a Nazir in the process of completing his Nizirut. In completing his Nizirut, he brings a Olah, Chatat, and Shlamim. If that's the case, now we have a juxtaposition, a Hekesh, between the Shlamim of the Nazir, which is the Il Nazir, and the Chatat of the Nazir. So why don't I say the same thing there as well? Achanami Neima, the Hekesh HaKatuv L'Chatat. That there's a Hekesh between the El Nazir and the Chatat. Ma Chatat Inu Nechel Te L'Zichrei Kuna. Af El Nazir Nami Inu Nechel L'Zichrei Kuna. Say the same thing there, that the El Nazir will have a status like that of Kodshei Kodashim, and will only be able to be consumed by the male Kohanim. It says, Hochi Hashta. How can you compare the cases? Over there, the Torah explicitly designates the matnot kuhuna that come off of the El Nazir. Why would you have to take off those designations for the Kohen unless the Balim were consuming the rest of the Korban? If the whole thing went to the Kohanim, you wouldn't have to tell me, give him the Zra B'Sheila. You wouldn't have to tell me about the Matnot Kuhuna that are Muram from this Shlamim. The only reason you do that must be because the remainder will go to the Balim. So the Gemara says, okay. Zra B'Sheila Mi'a Lo Litachel El Zichvei Kuhuna. Fine. I understand why you would differentiate between this and the Shalmei Tzibur. But at least in this case, where you do have a Matnot Kuhuna, and it's juxtaposed, there's a Hekesh to the Chatat, let's say that this gift to the Kohanim, this Zerah V'Sheila, should only be consumed by the Zichrei Kuhuna. Kasha. Gemara says, that's a really good question. Gemara leaves it as a question in this case, because truthfully, when it comes to the Shlamim, the Matnot that come off the Shlamim, as we'll see in the upcoming Mishnah, are given to the Kohanim and Kmin Echalim, to them and to their wives, to their children, to anyone who's in their family. There's no restriction of Zichrei Kuhuna. And the same is true of the Zra B'Sheila that's taken off the El Nazir. It's eaten by anyone in the Kohanim's family. So when I say they leave it as a kasha. V'i ba'itema, another possible solution is, Kodshei Ikrei, Kodshei Kodoshim Lo Ikrei. That when it comes to the Shlamim and the El Nazir, it specifically says that it is Kodesh and not Kodshei Kodashim. Okay, that's nice. But you know what? By the Zivchei Shalmei Tzibur, it also doesn't say that it's Kodshei Kodashim. We just learned that out from the Hekesh to Olah, that it's also a Kodshei Kodashim. So why do we say, why is the Gemara making such a differentiation? So Rashi points out that Gabe Shalmei Tzibur, even though it only uses the word Kodesh, because now it says Kodesh Lashem Kohen. Since it uses the term Lashem associated with Kodesh, that comes, it's not coming to be a mute and say Kodesh and not Kodshei Kodashim. But because the word Kodesh by the Zivchei Shalmei Tzibur is associated with Kodesh Lashem could be Kodshei Kodashim. When you just say plain Kodesh, that's Kodesh as opposed to Kodshei Kodashim. On the other hand, when it comes to Kodesh Lashem can either be Kodesh or Kodshei Kodashim, so it's not Mema'ayit, the Hekesh that we have over there. And that will be the difference between the Zivchei Shalmei Tzibur, why they're classified as Kodshei Kodashim, and why the El Nazir or the Matnot Kuna that are given off the El Nazir are not classified as Kodshei Kodashim.
Well, the Gemara comes with a conclusion Kasha, then it brings it by data. So I have a problem. If you want to get an answer this way.
I have an alternative answer, but obviously the answer is not so strong. When the Gemara does a Kasha and leaves a question and brings another alternative answer, the Gemara also obviously sees holes in the answer, sees problems in the answer. If that's the case, then what is the Hekesh for? If the word Kodesh tells me it's not Kodesh Kodashim, and now I have a Chatat and the El Nazir found in the same Pasuk, which tells me there is a Hekesh between the Chatat and the El Nazir, what's the purpose of that Hekesh? The purpose is to teach you that the Nazir brings three Korbanot. The Korban upon which he's supposed to do the Giluach, cut his hair and shave his head, is the Shlamim. How do I know that? Because one of the requirements of the hair after it's cut is to be placed under the dod, under the cauldron that is cooking the Shlamim. He must place the hair in the fire underneath the cauldron in order to cook the Shlamim. So we know that the Giluach is done by the Shlamim, and as well, as Rashi points out over here, the Torah actually uses the terminology Vigilach HaNazir Petach Oel Moed, and the Gemara over there says, what do you mean that the Nazir cuts his hair right in front of the Oel Moed? That's not Derech Eretz to cut your hair in front of the Oel Moed. It must be that when it says Vigilach HaNazir Petach Oel Moed, that it's referring to the Shlamim. And the Gemara reinterprets the Pasuk to mean that he's bringing his Shlamim, even though it's using the verb to cut, to shave his head. It nevertheless says that's referring to the Shlamim, so we see an association between the Giluach and the Shlamim. Despite that fact, the Hekesh between the Karbonot says that if he cuts his hair on any one of the Karbonot, that's still considered a good cutting, a good Giluach, in order to be Yotzei, the mitzvah of Giluach, and taking the hair and then placing it under the fire of the Shlamim. So he doesn't have to necessarily do it all the time. It's from the Pasuk by the Nazir. The Pasuk by the Nazir mentions a Shlamim Olah and a Chatat that he brings together. So the juxtaposition of the Karbonot, the Olah, the Chatat, to the El Nazir teaches us that they have the same din as the El Nazir. And just like the El Nazir can be cut, he can cut his hair on the El Nazir, he's supposed to cut his hair on the El Nazir, so too, over here, the Olah and the Chatat, he can cut his hair on them and still be okay, b'diavad. The next Mishnah, Hatudah ve'El Nazir, speaking of the El Nazir. Here we have the next mission, which is the Todah and the El Nazir, Kochim Kalim. That's the first time, it's the first Kochim Kalim that we bumped into. So therefore, Shchitatan b'chol makom zara. That's the first difference between the Kochim Kodashim versus the Kochim Kalim. Kochim Kodashim require north, whereas Kochim Kalim can be shechted anywhere within the Azara. V'dao mon ta'on shtei matanot shein arba. They require shtei matanot shein arba, which means on the corners, the southwestern corner as well as the northeastern corner. Those two corners are where it's done. The machlokas we saw yesterday between Rav and Shmuel, how exactly you do that? Do you take one splash that splits the two sides, or do you splash on each separate side of the corner? But that Shnayim Shehein Arba is similar to what we did by the Ashamot, similar to the Zivchei Shal Mitzibur, and similar to the Olah, it has the same matnot dam that are done below the Chuta Sikra. V'nechalim b'chol ha'ir. Here's the second difference with the Kodshei Kalim. They're allowed to be consumed throughout the entire city of Yerushalayim, not just within the Azara. L'chol adam, here's the next difference, which is that Kodshei Kalim can be consumed by anyone, even a zar. There is no requirement of kuhuna by Kodshei Kalim. B'chol ma'achal, any type, you can have it any way you want. That's as opposed to the last Mishnah in the Ezim Mekuman, which deals with the Pesach that says, it has to be done roasted, that's not true here. The Yom Velaila Ad Chatzot can be consumed for one day and one night until Chatzot. Now this is the unusual aspect of the Todah, as well as the El Nazir here, that it can only be consumed by the same time frame as a Kodshei Kodashim. Just like Kodshei Kodashim, when it comes to a Chatat and a Sham, Zivuch Hashem Mitzvah, they're only consumed for one day and a subsequent night. That is also true of a Todah. Despite the fact that a Todah and the El Nazir are subsets of Shlamim, and a Shlamim is eaten for Shnei Yamim ve'Laila Echad, over here it's only consumed for Yom ve'Laila Ad Chatzot, and that's why the Todah ve'El Nazir are the first of the Kodshei Kalim that we mentioned. It's because they have this aspect which is Dome to Kodshei Kodashim. Hamuram mehem ki yotzei behem. Those things that are removed from it have the same din as it. When we're talking about muram mehem, we're talking about the matnot kihuna that come off of the shlamim. Matnot kihuna of the shlamim is that you get the chazeh and the shok. With the El Nazir, on top of that, you get the Zerah B'Shelah. And with the Todah, in addition to that, you get one type of each of the four different types of chalot, matzot, that are brought alongside of the Todah. The Todah has 40 chalot, matzot that are brought with it from four different types. Each one of those types, you take one of the 10 and you give it to the Kohen. So all of those matnot kiuna, kiyotzbehem, have the same din as the korban itself, which means it's consumed for yom v'layla. That means that it can be in b'chol ma'achal. That means that it can be consumed by, and that's the one difference, elish muram, nechal, the Kohenim, the nishem, the b'nei v'avdeyem. The matnot kiuna can be consumed by the Kohen's family. That's the Kohenim, their wives, their children, their servants. Anybody who could eat truma could also consume these matnot kuna that come off of the korban. That'll be the only difference between them. Tarabanan, et chazeh atnufa, ve'et shoka truma tochlu b'mkom tahor. It comes to the matnot kuna of the shlamim. It says, the chazeh atnufa, the shoka truma, that you must consume it in a makom tahor. Amar Rabbi Nechemia, V'chi rishonim b'tumu achlum. Everything else up until this point in the parsha, you have to eat in a makom tumah, that the Torah goes out of its way to say that, oh, you must eat this in a makom tahor, as opposed to what? So the Gemara says, Ella, tahor, michlal, shehutameh. The fact that it says v'makom tahor indicates that it's not totally tahor, this location. This location is somewhat tahor, somewhat tameh, and somewhat tahor. Tahor mitumat mitzora, v'tameh mitumat zav. It's location where it's just tahor, because mitzoraim cannot come into that location. Where is that? That's inside of any walled city in Eretz Yisrael. But here in particular, we're speaking about Yerushalayim. Inside of Yerushalayim, mitzoraim can't come. So if you consume the korban within the confines of the walls of Yerushalayim, you will have no mitzoraim there. And therefore, it must be Torah mitumat mitzora. V'tameh mitumat zav. On the other hand, when it comes to the tumah v'zav, zav may not enter into Machane Leviyah, may not enter into Machane Shechina, but he can enter into Machane Yisrael. Well, Machane Yisrael, in after the time of the Mikdash, is Yerushalayim. And that's what it means. Ve'ezozeh, where is this location? Zeh Machane Yisrael. And Machane Yisrael is equivalent to Yerushalayim in the time of the Mikdash. So Mar says, wait a minute, why can't you do... He is. He would come into Yerushalayim, but not into Machane Leviyah. So that's why it's Tahor v'Tamei. It's Tahor mi Mitzorayim, but Tamei mi Tumat Zav, that they're allowed to enter there. So Gemara is going to ask the question, v'Ema, why don't we just say it's Machane Leviyah? Ema Tahor mi Tumat Zav. Let's talk about Machane Leviyah, where Zavim cannot go. That means in Yerushalayim on Har HaBayit. V'Tamei Tumat Meit. On the other hand, someone who's Tamei Tumat Meit can enter into Machane Leviyah. He may not enter into the Machane Shechina. He may not enter into the Azarot, into the Mikdash. On the other hand, he is permitted to be on Har HaBayit, he's permitted to be in Machane Leviyah. How do we know that? Because it's Moshe Rabbeinu resided in Machane Leviyah, and who did Moshe take with him? Atzmot Yosef. He took Matzot Yosef with him when he left Mitzrayim, and they were alongside with him, they were with him in the Midbar, so that shows you that Meimet is allowed into the Machane Leviyah. So we could have accomplished what the Pasuk is looking for, something Tahor and Tamei, both with Machane Leviyah as well as Machane Yisrael. Why did you opt to say it's referring to Machane Yisrael, and from that to learn that Yerushalayim is kasher for a Karbanot? Now say, no, it's referring to Machane Leviyah, and means that only Har HaBayit is kasher, not limited to the Azarot, but you can eat it throughout the Har HaBayit, but not through all of Yerushalayim.
So Makom Tahor is where it's 100%.
He said it can't be that, because no other Korban until that point in time required Makom Tahor. That implies that everything else until that point did not require Makom Tahor. So this Makom Tahor has to be different than the location you consumed all the other Korbanot until this point in time. Correct, but that's the deal that the Gemara is making. Amar Abaye, Abaye says, Amar Kora, the Pasuk says, V'achaltem oto b'makom kadosh, ota b'makom kadosh, v'lo acheret b'makom kadosh. It requires a makom kadosh, and nothing else requires a makom kadosh. Afka the Machane Leviyah. That took it out of the Machane Shechina, and moved it into a point where it says it could be in the Machane Leviyah. Hadar k'tiv b'makom tahor. And now again it says Makom Tahor. Afka the Machane Yisrael. That takes it all the way out to the Machane Yisrael. So since I have two terminologies that are describing the location, one is the Makom Kadosh and one is the Makom Tahor, each one of those allows me to move it out from the location of all the previous Karbanot. Previous Karbanot are eaten in the Machane Shechina inside of the Azarot. Therefore, when I have the first Makom Kadosh, it moves me out to the Machane Leviyah. Then I have the Makom Tahor, it moves me out all the way out to Machane Yisrael. That's a Bais Limud. V'Rav Amar, Ota B'Makom Kadosh, V'lo Acheret B'Makom Kadosh. It requires a Makom Kadosh and nothing else. Apko L'Gamre. It moved it totally out. You can eat it anywhere you want. Hadar K'tiv Rachmana, Tochlu B'Makom Tahor. Then it says, eat it B'Makom Tahor. Ayelo, it returned to the Machane Yisrael. It says, Ve'ema Ailo L'Machane Leviyah. Why don't you say then it just brought it back into Machane Leviyah? When you say it brought it back in, why are you assuming it just goes back into Machane Yisrael? It says, L'chada Ma'ilinin, L'tarte Lo Ma'ilinin. When you bring it back in, you bring in the least chidish, which is to bring it in just one Machane. You're not going to bring it in two Machanot. It says, Yachah. Yachah, if that's the case, Afukei Nami. When you said that it's pushed out, then say lachada mafkina mitarte lo mafkina. When you start out, you said, oh, it's pushed all the way out of Yerushalayim, as if it doesn't require any, have any requirements. Why would you say that it jumps out of all the machanot when you have a miut? Say also that you only move one at a time. Va'od, we have a pasuk that says lo tuchal lechol bisharecha. We have an explicit pasuk that says you may not consume the karbanot anywhere you live, wherever you want. Well, if you have a pasuk that says that, it's obvious that the Torah, when it says Makom Kadosh, is not referring to outside of Yerushalayim. Outside of Yerushalayim is Lo Tuchal Lechol Bisharecha. That's where you cannot consume it. We already know there's an Easter to consume Karbanot in those locations. So that can't be the case. Ela Nechavarta Kide Abaye. Solution is, it must be like Abaye. Right, next Mishnah moves on to the Shlamim themselves. Shlamim Kochim Kalim. They are Kochim Kalim. Shchitatan b'chol makom b'zara. They can be shechted anywhere in the zara. The dama'un ta'on shtei matanot shein arba. The dam has an etina dam of shtei matanot shein arba. Once again, on the southwestern corner as well as the northeastern corner where the yisod is. Nechlim b'chol ha'ir l'chol adam. They can be eaten throughout the entire city to any person. B'chol ma'achal, any way you like. L'shnei yamim b'layla echad. This is the one difference between it and the todah b'el nazir, that here you're allowed to consume it for 2 days and one night, as opposed to the previous, which only became consumed for 1 day and one night. Hamuram mehem kiyotzei behem, the same statement here, the matnot kuna that come off the shlamim have the same din as the shlamim itself. Ella, shimuram nechal lekoanim, the nishem nivnem of them. So that which is taken off the matnot kuna may only be consumed by the kohen and his family, not by anyone else. So that is the description of the shlamim. Just to note, we said before that the Todah is eaten the Yom V'Layla, whereas this is eaten the Shnei Yamim, the Layla Echad. How do we know that? We know that from the Parsha of the Todah, which by the Parsha of the Todah it says, V'im Todah Shlamav, im Al Todah Shlamav, and there we darshin from the Todah Shlamav, Zevach taught us about Chatat and Hashem, and there there's a riboy for Todah Shlamav to include Shamei Nazir. And that's why all those items are eaten the Yom V'Layla, is because that is the requirement that's laid out by the Todah. And we have a limud in the Pasuk to include all the other items. The Chatat, the Asham, and the El Nazir are all learnt out from the Todah that they're consumed for Yom V'Layla, as opposed to the Shlamim in general, which doesn't have the requirement. That is, Shnei Yomim V'Layla Echad. Tarabanan. The Pasuk by the Shlamim says, Ushchato Petach Ol Moed. Vishachat oto lifnei omoed. Vishachat oto lifnei omoed. So these are three times it talks about the shechita of the shlamim. One time it talks about it petach omoed. One time it talks about it lifnei omoed. And then the third time lifnei omoed. Why do I require these three different descriptions of where the shechita takes place? Lachshir et kol haruchot b'kodshim kalim, b'kodshim kalim. When it comes to kodshim kalim, one may shech them in any direction, as opposed to kodshim kodashim that must be done in the north. Over here by kodshim kalim, I can do it in any direction. Kavachomer letzafon. So any direction means any direction besides the north. That means south, east, and west, I can do the shechita. The tzafon I know from a kavachomer. Umay kodshei kodeshim shloruch shiru b'chol aruchot. Kodshei kodeshim, which are limited to having their shechita done on the northern side, huchshiru b'tzafon, they are allowed to be done in the north. Kodshim kalim shuchshiru b'chol aruchot. Kodshim kalim, which we just now had a riboy from these three psukim to say that it can be done in any direction. In udin shuchshiru b'tzafon, certainly you can use the north. So therefore I know east, west, and south, and then from a kavachomer called Shei Kodeshim, I know north is also a valid place. But the limud is from the Parsha of the Shlamim, so that's why the Gemara brought it over here. Rabbi Lezer Omer, lo ne'amar ha-katuv, ela hachshir tzafon. No, the pasuk is only coming to allow the tzafon to be used. Shiachol. Because I would have learned it a different way. Hello, Dinu. It's a kavachomer. Umay kodshim kalim shiuchshu b'chol haruchot. Kodshim kalim were permitted to done in all other directions, meaning east, west, and south. Lo hukshar mukomam etzol kodshim kodashim. Their location, the kodshim kodashim are not permissible to be used over there. Kodshim kodashim shiuchshu ela b'tzafon. The kodshim kodashim, which are limited to tzafon, enu din shlo yukshar mukomam etzol kodshim kalim, that certainly their location should not be used by the kodshim kalim. But the Elazar's suggestion is that each location is unique to that korban. So the kodshim kalim, which have three locations, and the kodshim kodashim are not permitted to be there, then certainly the kodshim kodashim, which has one location, no other korban will be permitted there, meaning the kodshim kalim would not be permitted there. Therefore, you would come up with this wild scenario where the tzafon is used for the kodshei kodashim and only, and then the kodshei kalim would only can be done in the south, east, or west, and that is Talmud Lomar. That's what the pasuk comes to teach us. Lifnei ol meid ushkato petach ol meid sukim that we just brought down. What do they argue about? We have three psukim. What's the machlokas between the Tana Kama and Rabbi Lazar? I sent out charts. I have them here. They're not so hard to see. So anybody who doesn't have them can share with me. So the Tana Kama Sabar, Tlato Krai Ktive. There are three psukim that are written over here. Chado Ligufe, Tinibaye Petach Omoed. The first one comes to teach us the requirement that it be done in front of the Petach Omoed. As we've done here, you have the Petach of the Heichal. The Shechita of the Korban must be done in front of the Omoed. Now, it's not just in front of the Omoed. And as Rashi is going to point this out later, the word Petach does not mean a door. The word Petach means a doorway. And therefore, when I require petach omoed, that means that I require the doorway, not the door. And that means that the door must be open in order that the doorway be there. The door eliminates the doorway. So the doors must be open in order for one to do the shechita and to be kasher. So that is the first requirement that has to be done. Number one, petach omoed. And it has to be that the doors are actually open at the time, which we'll get to in a second. Number two is, v'achad. The next one comes, lahachshir et hatzadim. Next one comes to be matir, the sides. And that is because, I would have thought, when it says that ushkato, when it says in the pasuk, ushkato petach omoed, that is a very limiting factor. Petach omoed, if you look here, would be a strip that it comes out of the petach omoed, and only in that location would one be permitted to shech the korban. So what is the next pasuk? The pasuk, next one comes, lifnei omoed. Well, lifnei is different than petach. Lifnei means within the purview of, rather than immediately opposite. So if you say that petach omoed would have indicated, I would have had to have made to say only opposite the doorway I could do it. Along comes the second pasuk of lifnei omoed and tells me, not only is it directly opposite the doorway, but anywhere which is in the purview of that door. That would be to the sides, meaning both sides, the entire front part of the Ezra would be fine according to this. Vichad, and the next one of Lifnei Omoed comes to exclude Tzidei Tzadim. That only Tzadim are okay, but Tzidei Tzadim are not okay. What are Tzidei Tzadim? Later on in the Gemara, Rashi says that Tzidei Tzadim are anywhere that doesn't see the Petach Omoed. Meaning that the areas that are on the side of the Ulam here, or stuff, items that are on the side of Eichal or behind the Kaporet, none of those would be considered Tzadim, because they don't see the Omoed. They don't see Petach Omoed. They can't see Petach Omoed. Therefore, they would be Tzidei Tzadim. In this part of the Gemara, Rashi said Tzidei Tzadim are the Lishkot. They are the chambers that surround the Azara. Even though they open into the Azara and they're Kodesh, nevertheless, they are precluded. They are not considered Lifnei. Because I might have thought that it, since it says before Ushchato Petach Omoed, that you shecht it in front of the Petach Omoed, literally in front of Petach, nevertheless, we said that's Lav Dafka. We said Lav Dafka Petach Omoed, but rather Lifnei, anything that can see it. So I would say the same thing about Lifnei. Lifnei is Lav Dafka also. Maybe I don't really have to see the Petach, because just like Petach wasn't literal, Lifnei maybe also is not literal. And I can do the Shkita in any of the Lishkot. I don't have to actually see the door or have to be able to see the Petach Omoed. That's what the puzzle comes to teach me. The last one says, no, Lifnei Omoed is Dafka, Lifnei Omoed, and not Lav Dafka. So that's what the three Pesukim are used for, according to the Tana Kama. But the last, he does not need the Tzafon Litzrichwa. For him, he doesn't need, the north side doesn't need any pasuk. Why? Because he learns it out of the Kal Vachomer. The Kal Vachomer that we just saw before, which is that if it's kosher for Kodshei Kodashim, certainly it can be used by Kodshei Kalim. So that is the position of the Tana Kama. Now we have Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer again believes he starts with the same way that the Tana Kama starts. And that is that the first one comes to teach us Nibai Petach Omoed. That you have to have the Petach Omoed. Petach Omoed means there has to be a Petach Omoed. Has to be open. All the requirements that we said before. Number two, Then he uses the second one. V'chad achshir tzafon. On the other hand, for Reb Elezer ben Yaakov, he needs a specific pasuk to tell us that the northern side is permissible to be used over here for the shkitat kodshei kalim. Because Reb Elezer ben Yaakov brought down a kal v'chomer before, which said that the north is only good for kodshei kodashim. That as far as the Kodshim Kalim are concerned, maybe they're entitled to the south, the east and the west, but not the north, from a Kal V'chomer. Just like their locations do not permit or are not permissible for a Kodshim Kodashim, so too the Kodshim Kodashim's area will not be permissible for the Kodshim Kalim. And therefore the north would be off limits for the Kodshim Kalim. Therefore I have one of the psukim of Lifnei Omoed come to tell me that this area, north of the Mizbeach, is permitted to be used. That we say, not just Dafka Petach Omoid, but even in the north, it's permissible to do it, even though I would have excluded it from a Kal V'chomer. Nevertheless, I have a Pasuk, and that's what we said before, Blessed Ben Yaakov brought down the Pasuk. It says, Lifnei Omoid, that says that I include it. Despite the Kal V'chomer, this area of the north is included. Then, I need the next Pasuk. V'chad, Lachshir, Tzadim. Next one, the next Riboy comes to include the other half of the Azara. Basically, the southern side of the Azara. The part that is not included by the Petach Omoed, the part that's not the north, that southern section is included from this last pasuk of Lifnei Omoed. Well, what about the exclusion of Tzidei Tzadim? So that Gemara says, Tzidei Tzadim lo itzchikra. We do not need a pasuk by Tzidei Tzadim. Why not? So the Rashi quotes, at least according to the way the Girsa of the Bach is, Lifnei dechtib bikra. The pasuk says Lifnei. So, in Bekra Kamo, Mashmo, Tzadim, Velot Tzadim. That's the Pashtut of the word Lifnei. Pashtut of the word Lifnei means in front of, not anywhere you want. And therefore, that since that's the Pashtut of Pasuk, I don't need a specific Pasuk to come and teach me that it has to be Lifnei Omoed and not Lifnei Omoed. As opposed to, the Tanakh Kamo will believe we did need such an exclusion, but Belaz thinks that it's obvious out of the Apostle.
So, why is the Tanakh Kamo hold that you don't have to worry about
the Tanakhama's premise is that the area used by the Kodesh Kodashim must be better than the other three locations. If it's better than the other, why is it better? Right? The only way it could be better is if you think that there's some sort of elevated Kedusha in that area. That elevated Kedusha that makes the Kal V'chomer. If you just say that it's a phone, it's a Gzeir Zakotuv, that's why the Kodesh Kodashim are done there, nothing to do with Kedusha, then you don't have a Kal V'chomer anymore because there's no reason to believe that the north is any different than any of the other locations within the Azara. All right, now, the Gemara says, "Maishna hacha dechizkib petach omoid, u'maishna hotam dechtiv lifnei omoid." On the second pasuk, dechtiv omoid. Kamash malon that teaches us, "Kedrav Yehuda amar Shmuel." Why couldn't the psukim just say lifnei omoid for each of the three psukim? I would have the same limud if it said lifnei omoid in all three locations. Why do I have a havamina from the first one? It says petach omoid. Both of them used it. Both Rabbi Lez and the Tanakham used that to teach us petach omoid means. Literally, I would have done it opposite the Petach. But why not? Why not just have to say Lifnei Omoed, and then I wouldn't have had that problem along. So what is the answer to that? The answer to that is, Kedrav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, which is what I expressed to you before. Da Amar, Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, Shlamim, Sheshachtan, Kodim, Shiftechu, Daltot, Eichal, Psulim. That a korban that is shechted before the Daltot, Eichal are open is Pasul, Shenemar, Ushchato, Petach, Omoed. Bezman Shu Patuach, Below, Bezman Shu Na'ul. That's only when it's open and it's not closed, and the limud is based on what I told you before. Petach is a description of a doorway, not a door. And the only way for something to be a doorway is when there's no doors in it. Meaning that it's the frame of the door, it's the open area that is framed out by a doorway. Once you say, when you're talking about a delet is the doors themselves, not the doorway. And therefore the requirement is that it be petach, when it's patuach, that it's actually open. And that's why the Torah said it, or phrased the first of the three as petach omoed rather than lifnei omoed to teach us this extra din, which is what we described before, that you need bayi legufe to teach us this din, that petach omoed means that the doors are open. In Manami, Amar Marukva Bar Chama, Amar Rabbi Yossi Bar Rabbi Chanina, that shlamim sheshachtan kodim sheiftechu dadot eichal, if he shecht the shlamim before the doors of the eichal are open, psulim. Shneamar, ushchato petach omoed bizman sheu patuach, zman petach eichal patuach, lo shonju na'u, when the doors are open and not when they're locked. But Marova Ma'anihochi, in Eretz Yisrael, they added this additional piece, which is Amar Rabbi Yaakov Bar Acha, Amar Rav Acha Bar Yaakov is the Girsa de Shit Mikubetzet. Amar Rav Ashi, Shlamim Shishachtan Kodem Shiyiftechu Daltot Eichal Psulot, or Psulim, That is true of the Shlamim. It's the same statement we had before. And here they add, Ubimishkan, kodim shemidu levim et mishkan, ola achar shifriku levim et mishkan ksulim. In the time of the Mishkan, you have the same problem, because there is no petach ol moed if the Mishkan is not standing. That means you can't shech the Shlamim before the Mishkan is standing, or after the Mishkan has been disassembled, you also can't do a shechitat the Shlamim, because you are lacking in petach ol moed. So the same way in the Beit Olamim, that the lack of petach ol moed is that the doors are closed, there, so too in the Mishkan, the lack of petach is that it's not standing. Therefore, there is no petach ol moed, and therefore you can't do shechita when the Mishkan is not standing. Shita. It's obvious to us that mugaf kina'ul, that when the doors are closed and not locked, they're the equivalent of being locked. That's not a question. That we are certain about that fact, that it's classified as being closed, and that would be a problem. Vilon mai. What happens if you have a curtain that's separating? What's the difference in a curtain? Amar abzera, hu atzmo inase ela kapetach patuach. When it comes to vilon, it's considered to be an open door. Why is that? Because a vilon is only the tznuyuta ba'alma of it. A vilon does not create a real separation between two locations. It's not like a door that you close it and then you can block someone from coming in. You could stop access. Person, when there's a vilon there, can clearly access it. The only thing that it does for you is prevents people looking into that location. So it's a vilon is not really a elimination of the doorway. It's simply a blocking of the vision or the visibility through that doorway. And therefore, a vilon will not be considered closed. And if there is a curtain hanging there, it's considered as if it is open. Now, the Gemara says, Govha, my, when it comes to Govha, what's the din? Govha means if there's a pile or something sitting in front of the doorway to the Heichal, what happens? You have a pile of dirt that's sitting there. Is that considered to be blocked? They're doing renovations, they're doing some construction, there's a big pile of something in front of the doorway, does that block it? Is it the doorway has to be accessible, or is it that you must have visibility into an open doorway? So that's the question here. Tosfos asks the question, which he doesn't really answer, which is, what about the Mizbeach? Mizbeach is the biggest pile in front of the doorway, and nobody suggests that over here, that if you check the animal on the other side of the Mizbeach, that it'd be problematic. So Tosfos raises that issue about why it is that the Gemara doesn't address the Mizbeach. But now, Tashma. Titania, Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda Omer. Shnei pispisim ayu b'beit ha-chalifot. There were two little doorways in the Beit Chalifot. V'govhan shmona. And there was a pile of eight, or something at the height of eight. K'dei lachshir et azara kula l'achilat kodshei kodashim. That this was done in order to permit the entire Azarat to be used for consumption of the Kodshei Kodashim, or the Shechitat Kodshei Kolim, and for Kodshei Kolim to be checked in those locations. So my love, what's the case here? De'ika kamayu shmona. That there was a pile 8 amod high in front of these doorways, and nevertheless they were still classified as doorways. The Mar says, lo, the gavon yinhu shmona. No, that these doorways themselves were actually 8 amod high. Mar says, what do you mean doorways that are 8 amod high? Meitavei kol sharim sheyusham. All the gates in the Migdash, Gov'an Esri Mama, Baruch Ban Eser Ama, they are 20 amot high and 10 amot wide. There, the mission is saying that because it says, Chutz Mi Petach Ha'ulam. Petach Ha'ulam is twice that size. It's bigger than all the other doorways. But every doorway in the Migdash is 20 amot high and 10 amot wide. These pishpishim are only 8 amot high. So how could you say that the 8 amot is modifying the height of the doorway? That's not a normal doorway. Where it says, pishpishim shiny. The pishpishim are different. That's why they're called a pishpish and not a delet, is because they are openings, but as Rashi says here, they're not openings that are used. They're not used for access and, they're not used for access and egress, but rather they are simply there to create a halachic reality. It's true that they're not used for a physical petach, a physical doorway, but to create a halachic reality. And that has to do with the fact that now we know, until this point in time we've learned, that the places that are mutar for the shechitat kodshei kalim are, first of all, directly opposite the petach omoy, as well as to the north and south of that, as long as they have visibility to the petach omoy. That would include these areas, north, south, and the areas in front of the petach. On the other hand, the areas that have not been included, which we've shown here before, is those next to the ulam itself, those that are adjacent to the ulam, and those that are adjacent to the heichal, as well as those areas that are behind the heichal. How about those areas? Those areas don't see the petach ol moed. So what did they do to solve that problem? Oh, we had a great idea. We said, we're going to put doorways inside the ulam, two doorways into the Beit Chalifot, Rashi claims over here that the Beit Chalifot were on the western side of this wall, these 15 amot that extend beyond the wall of the Heichal of the Ulam, that's the bigger area in front of the Heichal. On those 15 amot there were storage bins, windows in which they placed the knives of the Shechita, where the Kohanim kept their lockers, basically. On the wall, there was also a doorway that allowed access and egress to the Ulam. Now, obviously, this Tana believes that Ulam is called Omoed. The Ulam has the same din as the Omoed, not just the Heichal has the din of an Omoed, but even the Ulam itself is a din of Omoed. Therefore, if I make an opening, a doorway here, into a Pishpesh, into the Ulam, now the areas behind them also are Lifnei, Omoed, Lifnei Petach Omoed. I have a Petach to the Omoed, and now they are Lifnei Omoed. That is Machshir, the two areas that are behind the extension of the Ulam over the Echal, all the way back to the western side. Those two areas now become Lifnei Omoed, based on having this opening over there. Right, that's where Rashi says. That's excluded from the Pasuk of the Petach Omoed. That's probably where Rashi went in the end with a different interpretation of the Shkot, because in the end the Gemara is going to come along and make these into Lifnei Omoed. So because of that, Rashi probably said that in the end, if you're going to exclude something, you have to exclude some Tzidei Tzadim that remains. Because in the end the Gemara is going to eliminate these by putting in doorways. So that Gemara says eliminated. Rashi claims that the Beit Chalifot was the entire area from this Ulam back. It was called Beit Chalifot because that faced the Beit Chalifot, this entire area. Others, like Tosafot, others say that Beit Chalifot was the area where they stored the materials. Everything behind them is called behind the Ulam. That's what's behind the Ulam to the western side. Now the Gemara says, okay, that's really nice, but what about Litzadim? You took care of behind the Ulam. What about the two areas that are immediately adjacent to the Ulam? Between the wall of the Ulam to the Darom and the wall of the Ulam to the Tzafon. Those areas, you don't have Petach Omoed. They don't see the doorway here that goes out of the Ulam to the back. They don't see the Petach of the Heichal, which goes out this way. So these two areas, how do you include those to be good? And that's what the Gemara says over here. Va'ikat Tzadim. What about the Tzadim? So Gemara says, the Mayolahu Bekeren Zavit. So there's no problem, we can solve that problem. We're going to put the Shnei Pishpishim not on the western side facing back, but rather on the angle, on the corners. They'll be on the southwestern corner of the Ulam, as well as the northwestern corner of the Ulam. By doing that, I've now opened up an opening that faces back to the west, but also faces to the south, back to the west, and also faces to the north. Now I have a Lifnei Petach Omoed for the, not only back to the west, but also on the areas that are adjacent, immediately adjacent to the Ulam, to the north and the south. So I solved those problems. Rambam says, what about Acharei Kaporet? Kaporet Kaporet Mai. The area behind, immediately behind the Echal, that is still blocked. Its visibility to either of the Petachim is still obstructed. If that's the case, what about this area in the back? Maybe there you can't Shech Kodshei Kalim, and number two, you can't consume Kodshei Kodoshim. My answer is up. We don't. No problem. Tashma, Da'amar Rami Bar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, Lul Katan Haya Achorei Beit HaKaporet. There was a small window that was behind the Beit HaKaporet that looked into the Ta'im that were behind there. Gvoa Shmona Amot, that was 8 Amot high, similar to the Pishpishim. Kedei Lachshir Tazera Lachilat Kodshei Kodoshim Lashkadat Kodshei Kalim. The purpose of this story was to make the entire Azara now permissible in which to consume Kodshei Kalim. So there's a little doorway here. The Echal is actually situated inside. These thick walls over here contained within them Ta'im. These were chambers that were inside of them. They had a small opening over here into this chamber. Again, not used for access or egress, but simply to make an opening where you could see through to here. So now that you can see into it, that allows it, now becomes a Petach Omoed. Why that works? So that's a question. What does that solve for you? What does that do? So Rashi claims, when it says, Bul, says, Kamin chalon patuach min ata, there's a window into the tash, achorei beit hakaporet, la'avir ha'azara. So Tosus asks, what does that do for you? How does that help you over there? So he says, Temali, achorei hakaporet, heyach yechol lishkot, ha'inu yechol lirot sham petach omoed, derech ha'chalon. He still can't see the petach omoed through that window. Da'ika shnei parochot. You have the two curtains that sit between the Kodesh and the Kodesh Kodeshim that block your visibility. So even though you have a window into here, and from the top there's another window maybe that lets you look through, you still have the parochot that divide between the Kodesh and the Kodesh Kodeshim that sit there. And uparochot lo yeshum petach. They didn't have a doorway through them. They were open, one on each side, on one on the north side, one on the south side, and you have to walk between them to get in. Ela achat krupa min adarom, achat krupa min asot, tzafon. V'yesh lomar, dehalul kari petach. not like Rashi says, where it allows you the visibility to Petach Chol Moed, but the lul itself becomes a din of a Petach. It has a din of Petach Chol Moed now. This is the Ol Moed. Now you have a window, a doorway into the Ol Moed, just like the Pishpishim over here created a Petach Chol Moed. So too, this lul back here will create a Petach Chol Moed. V'roeh bo Kodshei Kodashim. And from there you can see the Kodshei Kodashim, the low Gorom Ol Moed. How's that any worse than the Ol Moed? Kumayachorei Beit HaChalifot. Just like the doorways that look into the Beit HaChalifot, look into the Ulam, are considered Petach Chol Moed, that certainly looking into the Kodesh HaKodashim should be classified as being Petach Ol Moed.
So people were able to actually walk around and look inside the Kodesh
HaKodashim? Look in. They couldn't walk in, but they could look in. It was a very small doorway. Oh, that a chalom that they could look into, but you have to be Acharei Beit HaKapur, where nobody went. It's an area that was not used and usually accessed. It's an area that's like almost like a dead zone in the Mikdash. Nobody was there. Shvita, if a Kohen walked back there to do it, there were guards there, we're going to see in a second. Right, it shouldn't be outside of that the area of the Azara. We want the whole Azara to be kosher, but nevertheless, it's not an area that was frequented, I would say. So now Tosa says, there's no nearly. And this is basically your question, Tzvi. It says, listen, by the Pishpishim, we know they were doorways. Now Rashi claims they were not for access and egress, they were just to create the halachic reality that there was a petach. Aval, lepar, the window in the back, chalon katan. It was called a window, below petach mikrei, it's not called, they use a different word, they use a lul, not pishpish, to tell you that it's a window, and not a petach. And therefore it also leaves it as that tzarech iun. What is it, or why is it that lul allows one to then shecht in the back? What is it giving you access? How do you see through to the ulam? So now the Gemara continues. V'ayinu dichtiv, this is what it says in Divrei Yamim. By Divrei Yamim, in the time of Ezra, so that would be in Bayit Sheni, it says, Shnayim leparbar. In the Divrei Yamim, it's one word. It's not two separate words. Shnayim leparbar. There it's giving enumeration of all the locations that there was Shmirah done in the Mikdash. So two of those that came, two of the individuals that came, go to the parbar. My leparbar. What is the parbar? Right, it's not a cow bar. Amar Rabba Bar Rav Shila. Kiman Damar Klapei Bar. Opposite bar, the back. So opposite the outside, opposite the back. What's opposite the back? Well, that's Acharei HaKaporet. So there were two mishmarot, there was something back there, there was a klapei bar that was back there, which means there must have been something back there to watch. So there had to be some sort of access, and that was the lul katan that they supposedly were doing the shmirah on, that was behind the kaporet, and that allows us that area, or indicates to us that area was also kasher to be used because there was some sort of access, whether it's a window or a doorway, into the Eichal, and that was considered Petach Chol Moed as well. We'll stop over here.